Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time for the fifth quarter with analysis, game stars, all-access locker room interviews, and more. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
They'll motion Lenny or Keaton-Shaped Baker to the sideline. Hit screen to Kyron on the first play. 30, 35, broke a tackle, and he'll be broke three tackles. 40, 45, a fourth, 50, Kyron Moore. Good for 19 yards thanks to four broken tackles. Fajardo, straight drop, no pressure, gunning for the corner. It is caught near the goal line, and they're going to mark him out at the one-yard line. Shape and bake. Fajardo looking like he's going to step up and sneak this one on first and goal from the one on the Riders' opening drive. Left side, and the Riders are in the end zone. Fajardo, touchdown. Handed off, it's White right side through Nick Marshall through the 50, still going. Fumble to the 55. It's down, and Micah Johnson recovers. This would cut the lead to 5, and it's a 15-yard field goal, so of course it is good. Here comes 6 Argos. Pressure, Fajardo going deep, and incorrect. Someone went the wrong way, and it's picked off at the 40. 4 receivers to the left. Riders showing 5, and 5 will come. Pressure on Arbuckle. He fumbles the ball, and it's scooped up. Is that Keon Adams who's got it at the 45? It'll be Rider football. Again, the jumbo formation. Again, William Powell, 35, 30. Can he beat the safety? 25, 20, down to the 15, and to the 11-yard line. 5, and they bring them all. Fajardo guns quickly. Lennius for the end zone. Touchdown! Lennius, 12-yard touchdown for the Riders. Arbuckle buys some time by scooting out to his left, looking downfield. He's got a man wide open. He couldn't get him. And he does at the 20-yard line, the 10, the 5. He's going to play it from shotgun. Give it straight up the middle. It's White.
Nope.
He didn't get there.
Nope.
Signal the turnover. They will pull it. Arbuckle wide open for the touchdown. Got in behind Christian Campbell, and it's Tavares Daniels again. Arbuckle pressure, spin out and down, and fumbles, and it's recovered by the Argos. I believe it'll be Jonathan Woodard with sack number 6. 4-5 Argos coming. Fajardo 5-step drop pressure from the right, scrambles out. This will work. 40, 45, 50, 55, 50, stays in bounds to the 45-yard line of the Toronto Argos. Cody Fajardo, 25-yard scramble. 5 receivers to the right as Powell goes there. 5-man pressure quickly. Little hit screen to Schaefer Baker. 20, still alive. 15, 10. Schaefer Baker is going to score. How did he do it?
Lord. Wow.
2nd and 8, Argos from the Riders 18. Arbuckle straight drop, corner route, end zone. It's caught for the touchdown. Eric Rogers with the touchdown on Nick Marshall, and it'll make it a 12-point Riders lead. The Riders will show 6, 1 backs off. 5 come. Arbuckle stands in there, and he's going down inside his own territory. Anthony Lanier's in there. And Keon Adams is the man that made it happen. Arbuckle looking to his left, pumps and going deep. Good coverage. Is Campbell, but did he get the pick? Did Marshall get it off of Campbell?
Yes.
He's still alive. 40. Get the block. 45, 50, 55.
Football sweetest formation coming up here, DT. Victory formation.
That is the postgame rewind brought to you by Westrum Lumber Timber Mart with locations in Assiniboia, Moose Jaw, Rollo, and Weyburn.
The battle is over. Now we're breaking down the game. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Live from Harvard Studio 620, it is the postgame show, the fifth quarter. Oh, boy. Brought to you by our friends at Sask Lotteries, Capital Auto Mall, and Borgo Industries. Derek Taylor, Luke Mullender in the broadcast booth. Brought to you by McDougal Auctioneers. Best in the bidding business, McDougalBay.com. Who liked the Riders win? Woo! 4-2, 4 out of 5 at home. Luke Mullender just taking care of business in this game.
Yeah, and it was nice to see the team bounce back, right? Again, two games where everybody and their mom was pointing out the things that the guys were doing wrong and not enough of the things that the guys were doing right. So it's good to come out here, A, protect your house, and B, reestablish some of the things that you needed to be good at. Again, the discipline was there finally. They really managed to establish their physical dominance on the line of scrimmage at times, and it was a good overall win. I think one of the things that also draws our conclusion too is that they're still one of the better teams in the league, right?
Yeah.
Like this was one of those games where, hey, the Argos and the Riders, they're still near the top, right? So it's good to get a win against a team that you should have beat, to be honest with you.
Yeah, there's one thing in there I want to make sure we don't gloss over. They took it on the chin from the Bombers in consecutive games, scored no touchdowns in either of those games. And legitimately, you and I were on the cage wondering, oh, okay, was that just Winnipeg, or are there deficiencies in this team? And man, against maybe the, let's say, the third best team in the Canadian Football League, they were on point today. They deserve a lot of credit for getting it done.
Yeah, and the Argos, again, came into this game playing pretty well against the run. And today, they were exposed. And I think that a little bit of that had to be with Stubler calling the plays again. As a former player, you know, going against Stubler defenses and watching them compete, right, the one thing you know is there's always going to be an opportunity to run the ball, right? And the Riders came out. They did that. They got themselves into manageable situations consistently. And again, I didn't mind the play calls. Right, the play. I felt like the script was a good one, especially when they were in situations. I liked the way they started taking advantage of the Argos' willingness to go east and west instead of attacking downhill as a defense. So, a good win. There's going to be lots of things on film that you can build on, and it's going to be a tough game here coming up next week in BC.
Absolutely. So, William Powell, 21 carries, 122 yards. Not a lot of those yards were the salted away yards. He got them important yards early on in this game as they went to that jumbo formation with Josiah St. John and Alex Dupuis. Honestly, a formation we hadn't seen a ton of, and certainly not against Winnipeg, and they used it to absolutely bludgeon the Argos on this day. We'll hear from Coach Craig Dickinson, the offense and defensive stars of the game, and a breakdown of all the big moments from this one, right here live from Harvard Studio 620 at Mosaic Stadium. We'll go to break, back with plenty more to talk about on the Cooperative Rough Rider Radio Network.
From locker room interviews to the coaches' comments, this is your all-access post-game pass. The fifth quarter on the Cooperative Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Live from Harvard Studio 620 at Mosaic Stadium, following a 30-16 Saskatchewan Rough Riders win. Luke, it just struck me during the break.
Hey, look at the world's biggest bag of popcorn. That guy's toting a load right there, man. I'm hungry.
I want to go where that guy's going.
Yeah, jeez.
Sorry.
Dang, bro. Anyways,
keep going. Kean Schaefer-Baker joined us on the Sports Cage this week. I said, hey, should I take you in fantasy? He said, yes. 8-9 catches, 99 yards, one touchdown, 24.9 fantasy points from Kean Schaefer-Baker.
Schaefer and Bake, man. That guy's a baller. Here's the thing. The best part about him is the catches that he makes. They're not those silky smooth deep balls where you're making a one-handed grab. They're tough yardage. They're plays where he knows he's going to have to take a hit. He knows he's going to have to sit in the zone and take a bit of a licking. And man, he keeps ticking. And today it was a great example of if you're a tough football player, good things are going to happen. His touchdown in this north end zone here today, it was the culmination of A, his willingness to catch a ball, knowing that he's going to get hit, but B, continuing to drive his feet. And when you're a Toronto Argonaut thinking you're playing hockey and trying to shoulder tackle guys, when you're Schaefer-Baker and you're a big body and you got some strength, man, you're going to bounce into the end zone, exactly what he did. So I'll tell you what.
Let's go down to the locker room and bring in Coach Craig Dickinson.
Oh, do we
Dickinson
have him? Oh,
it's rolling. Conversation. Craig Dickinson down in the locker room. Congratulations, sir. A tremendous win from where we saw it. What did you think?
Yeah, thank you. I thought it was really good. Good team effort. You know, I think all three phases played well. And we needed to get back on track, and I felt like we did that a little bit tonight. So I was proud of the team.
I feel like I knew this game was going to go well for you guys when Toronto made a point of it on third down early in the second quarter to try and draw your team offside with 7 offside penalties in the previous game. Your guys stayed rock steady and forced Toronto to kick a field goal. I was so happy at that.
Yeah, I was happy too. I said to our guys, hey, we did it. We actually keyed the football and didn't jump offside, so I was proud of them. That's about darn time, you know.
Coach, you guys came in here today and you ran the ball really well. Was that something that you wanted to do all week? Was it something, I mean, you have a ton of experience watching Rich Stubler and his scheme. Was it something you decided to do when you knew that he was going to be the play caller? How'd that work out?
Well, Luke, we want to run the ball every week. That's part of who we are and what we want to do. And some teams take it away from us a little better than others, but we keep working. You know, and I give Coach Soros and Coach Moss a lot of credit and that offensive line a lot of credit as they find ways to get matchups that we like, to get the people in the game that we feel like we can run the ball with and to run the ball in different situations. So we want to run the ball every week, Luke, and sometimes it works out better than others, but tonight it worked out, and it helps. You can see it. It allows us to control the pace a little bit and keep our offense on the field and hopefully wear their defense out a little bit.
One thing, Coach, that Luke was full of praise during the game for was guys making hustle plays downfield. Micah Johnson races 25 yards downfield, ends up being there to recover a fumble. Nick Marshall chases a ball that Christian Campbell bats up in the air and ends up with an interception. It was just very noticeable that those things paid off for you tonight.
Absolutely. We say, DT, we say good things happen when you sprint to the football. And perfect example, both of those that you brought up where guys were sprinting to the football, not just assuming that their teammate had it defended, but sprinting to the football, and then all of a sudden, there it is. So those are going to be really good clips. I think I'll show them to the team tomorrow and reemphasize exactly what you just said.
What did you think of Kian Schaefer-Baker's performance tonight?
Yeah, impressive, there's no doubt. Not overly surprising because we've seen it all along. But impressive. He's an impressive young man, and I think he's just going to keep getting better.
Man, he had 9 catches for 99 yards. You guys got a critical stop on third and goal. The Argos thought they would just shove that one in on you. But, oh, boy, you guys were absolutely ready.
Yeah, that was a nice call, I thought, by Coach Shives. And our defense just they got off the football. They knew that it was a yard, and they knew that they had to penetrate and stop it. And that was a big play because then I think we got a big drive after that where we ended up kicking a field goal late going into the wind. So any time you can chew up clock and shorten those quarters going into the wind, that really does help you.
And help me out with something here. You guys lost the toss, but did the Argos end up giving you the wind in the fourth quarter?
No, they won the toss and deferred. So when they deferred, they chose the ball in the second half. So
okay, by the nature of that, you ended up with the wind in the fourth quarter.
Yep, that's usually how it works because you can elect which way you want to kick to start the third quarter, and then you get the wind in the fourth.
I was caught off guard just checking the final stats. It was, for your team, 9 penalties for 80 yards. Honestly, I didn't notice many of them. Do anything stick out for you? Is that better, or is it more of the same from last week?
No, here's the two that stick out for me. We had 2 15-yard no yards going into the wind, so there's 30 of it right there, which we shouldn't have. I mean, we talk about that all the time with our guys. But two reasons, I believe. John didn't punt as well as he normally does, and the ball was coming up short, and I think that wind was a little stronger than we anticipated. So them gunners of ours that are working on speed down the field, they got to also do a better job when they see that ball coming up short of putting the brakes on. But those were the two that stood out for me. One in the return game, I think it was on 58. You can't have that. The 15-yard no yards and the return game penalties are killers. So we got lots to work on. We're not a finished product by any means.
Coach, I don't want to look too far ahead, but you got BC and then 2 games back-to-back against Calgary. What's going to be the key in terms of preparation here?
We got to look at BC hard. I mean, we've played them once already, but they're definitely a better team than when we got them the first game. and then we'll go to Calgary after that. But we've got to take care of our business. Our focus, as usual, Luke, is going to be on how can we get a little bit better as a team ourselves, and then we'll study the film and see if there's some things that we see that we can take advantage of. But really, it's how can we improve as a team ourselves and go from there.
Coach, final one for you. In this moment, knowing that your team bounced back from two rough losses to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, how do you feel?
Feel good. You know, I feel like it feels good to get back on track. I told the guys, let's have some fun out there tonight, you know, and fun is playing hard, being physical, and making plays, and I thought they did that tonight. So very proud of the guys, and we're going to enjoy this one for the next 24.
And they didn't fall for whoever wanted to start that giant rumble at the end there.
Yeah,
that was nice.
I mean, that was good. I thought our guys really did a good job of just getting out of there, getting our people out, and moving on.
Hey,
so
Coach,
we don't want to see any more of that.
Coach, why do teams hate you guys so much? Man, everybody wants to fight you guys, Coach.
I don't know what it is. I just you played. You know how it goes.
Craig, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. Congratulations on another great win.
Thanks, guys. You have a good night.
He is the Riders head coach, Craig Dickinson, joining us on the fifth quarter postgame show. Coach's postgame comments are for Great Western Beer. Great tasting, refreshing beer, proudly brewed in Western Canada, using only the highest quality ingredients. Please enjoy responsibly. We'll go to break for Sastel, Young's Equipment, and Western Ag Professional Agronomy. The offense and defensive stars of the game to come from Harvard Studio 620 on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Rider Pride Worldwide. Listen to Rider Radio around the globe with the official CKRM app. It's a free download for your smartphone at 620ckrm.com.
11:16 p.m. as we roll on from Harvard Studio 620, the fifth quarter post-game show. After a 30-16 Riders win, the Riders move to 4-2. They will remain second in the West Division. Cody Fajardo, 21 of 31 for 212, two touchdowns and one interception. I think this win was about getting William Powell and getting the run game going. Your assessment of Cody just on first glance?
Spotty, I would say. I think that there's times where he overextends himself. The kid's got to learn to slide feet first, by the way.
That one was bad.
We really need him to start. I mean, you're the franchise QB, right? And at some point, you have to understand that as gifted as you are, you still have to protect yourself as a player. So, get to sliding with your feet. But again, I'm more concerned about holistic offensive approach, right? So it's really good for, as a former defensive player, for me to see balance, right, and the ability to balance. Because again, that's gonna, and the nice part about that is it sets you up for the future, because teams see that. They look that on film and they say, okay, well, you know what? I mean, here's a team that's running the ball a little bit better. And then, just like the Argos were doing to us in the first half, then your play action passes actually start sucking those linebackers up, right, and delaying those. So it's all gonna come together. And I think that again, with Jason Moss coming into this year, I think he looks at Cody Fajardo as, I don't think he looks at him as a Mike Riley type of guy. I think he looks at him as Trevor Harris, with the ability to go long. So you really see that game manager type of approach from a play calling perspective, not
right.
A Cody perspective, a play calling perspective. So again, he's spotty, right? I think that he's going to continue to watch film. He's going to continue to get better. But it showed you a little bit of his mentality in the pregame when we listened to his interview and he said, well, I'm gonna wait to see what the defense gives me. No. And you saw me right away. No, you attack. Go and attack the Argonauts. Go and attack your opponent, right? Everybody's got a plan until you punch him in the mouth. And that's where I'd like to see Cody take that next step is be a killer coming out of the gate. You know what I mean? And I think it'll go far for them. But again, you know what? Like, as long as you keep identifying the opportunities to improve on the film, then you're going to be in a good spot.
Six touchdowns and six interceptions now for Fajardo. Just trying to do some quick math off the top of my head. His completion percentage now down around 70%. Let's go back to the locker room and welcome in our offensive star of the game, young man who said, yes, Derek, take me in your CFL fantasy league. Kian Schaefer Baker, I just want to point out before we get started, you got me 24.9 fantasy points, which is a huge night. Owe you forever.
I love to hear that.
Please tell me about your touchdown. Just tell me everything about your touchdown, because I just about lost it making that call.
Yeah, it was just a nice little screenplay. Luckily, I got some amazing blocks from my guys. I should have went down to the floor, but my teammates kept me up, and they pushed me into the end zone. So I got to give all thanks and glory to God first, but especially to my teammates and my brothers out there for encouraging me and helping me.
Did you bounce off of Dan Clark on that one? I feel like that was a highlight where you bounced off of Clark.
I did. He came right over to me and said, that one really hurt, but I had to thank him because he kept me on my feet.
What's allowed you to have such great success in the two games that you've been at that X receiver position?
Yeah, it's just continue to just persevere and just working hard and just having no excuses, you know, just come in every single day and just be the best version of myself. I know we have the best coaching staff, the teammates around me, they all help build me up and help me be the person I am.
How much did you get a chance to work with Cody Fajardo in training camp? I'm trying to picture how much you were with the ones in camp.
Never. Not too much in training camp. I maybe caught one pass from him in training camp.
Well, and that's what I was hoping the answer was. It's what I thought the answer would be. What has led you two to be such a nice connection through two games, do you think?
Yeah, he's such an amazing. He's the best quarterback in this league. You know, when he's out there and he's killing the game, it just allows for all of us receivers to just continue to play our game out there too. And once we're all on the same page and gelling, there's no stopping us.
Yeah, everything was very, very impressive. Just a yard shy of 100 yards, though. There wasn't another yard you could have rounded up there. That would have got me another point.
Hey, as long as we got the dub tonight, that's all that matters.
What did you think? There was a lot of the extra offensive linemen, fullback and William Powell running the ball. Yep. You get a chance to throw some blocks. How much do you enjoy that part of the game?
That's what we're doing 95% of the time. So you got to come out there and be physical and set the tone every single play.
Yeah, Toronto's defensive backfield, those are big dudes.
They are some big DBs.
And yet you were able to get yours off them. I was super impressed with that.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And you didn't get dragged into a fist fight at the end there. They wanted to fist fight everybody, it seemed like.
Yeah, and you know, we got to clean that stuff up as well. We don't want to be having little penalties like that, because that can cost us in the long run and in future games. So we just got to clean up the little mistakes and just keep working to get better.
What does it mean to you, coming off of two losses to the Bombers in which there were no touchdowns, for the team to have a performance like this one tonight?
Yeah, this is amazing. There's no greater feeling than this. You know, there's everything negative, pressure and challenges. That's something we were faced with. And, you know, we were faced again with the opportunity to rise now. So we came out and we responded. And we looked to just continue that progress week in and week out.
And we're looking forward to the game in Vancouver next week. Kian Schaefer Baker, our offensive star of the game. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you giving us some time tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for the time. God bless. Hope you guys have a great night.
Schaefer and Bake. 9 for 99, Luke.
And again, it was Schaefer Baker was one of the guys that, again, that IQ is developing, right? So when your quarterback breaks out of the pocket and the team's in the zone, a lot of the young receivers will run themselves into coverage by gradually going with the quarterback and essentially running into the other defender in the zone, right? When you're in that. But I really liked the fact that he identified where his window was, and when there were a couple plays there when Cody would get out of the pocket, and as a young receiver, to stay patient and remain in the zone that you're sitting down in, I mean, some receivers don't pick up on that trait their whole career, right? So, but again, I really think that it's the entire group. You've got Picton, Schaefer Baker, Lennius. I'm talking about the Canadian receivers right now. They're all very good at different things. So I think that makes a terrific combination moving forward when you have receivers, Canadian receivers, that give you ratio flexibility, but also present different challenges for the opponent.
this will be a problem for October. This is October's problem. We're still firmly in September. October's problem, who has to go out when Shaq Evans comes back in? Just put that out there. We'll talk about
it. I got the easy answer. It's Lewis. What do you mean? Why, how is that a tough question? Lewis, he gone. See ya.
That's not Shaq's position.
It doesn't matter. You just move the guys over into, right? Like, you take Lewis out of the roster,
yeah,
put Shaq back in his original spot, and move him down.
You'd move and Shaq to the slot.
And well, no, I'm just saying, put Shaq back into his original position. Wherever Shaq goes, that's fine.
Yeah.
And just plug guys in. But Lewis is out. And then so you and now what you're going to do is you're going to start to see production from that spot. Because here's the thing. If you come in as a guy that especially the coaches and the GM say, hey, this guy's earned his spot, right? And then how many catches does he have in three games? Four maybe, right? But more importantly, you drop the opportunities that you have. And it's not that, oh, these are bad throws. Like, these drop balls that are right here that you could catch in the game. You know what I mean? So I think that it's an easy decision. You put Shaq back in, you move guys into different spots, you take Lewis out, and then you keep on pushing. And I think that it opens up another receiver and another target for your offense.
What about when Jordan Williams-Lambert comes back too? See, so there's two Americans out, doing this without two of their better receivers.
So,
and their best receiver, pardon me.
So when Jordan Williams-Lambert comes out, then your decision is, okay, well, you know, what exactly are we trying to do here, right? Like, are we getting the production out of the guys that we have, right? And is that production doable when it comes to what Jordan Williams-Lambert makes financially and what these guys are making financially? And normally the easy answer is, hey, go with the guy who costs less. So I don't think it's a very hard decision. I don't think that they're gonna lose sleep over the decisions they're making. I think that again, this game is a game where you can control what you can control, and some of the guys that are out there are taking advantage of that. And some of the guys out there are not doing themselves any favors. And those guys, I mean, they make themselves easy to move.
Chafin Bake definitely taking advantage.
Man, that guy's a baller.
Of the opportunity. This segment of the post-game show for Bronc Beer, now available in Saskatchewan, Seedmaster, and the Wireless Age, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Our Game Stars brought to you by GoGrain, the new app that lets farmers book and track grain trucking right from their phone. Download today at gograin.ca. We'll go to break, back with plenty more in the post-game show from Harvard Studio 620 at Mosaic Stadium, the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
The battle is over. Now we're breaking down the game. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Fifth quarter post-game show continues from Harvard Studio 620. Shout out Micah Tights, leading tackler. 8 tackles in this one. Who loves Micah Tights? Yes. His biggest fans in the back. I love it. Micah Tights has been fantastic, filling in for Cam Judge. Cam Judge, of course, now in Argo, left this game with an injury in his ankle area that, just having seen it, I'm really afraid it could be very serious. Certainly wish the best for Cam Judge going forward. Right at the top, you heard the post-game rewind. It is brought to you by Westrum Lumber Timber Mart, with locations in Assiniboia, Moose Jaw, Rolo, and Weyburn. And thanks to the guys for dropping by the studio here in Harvard Studio 620 to bring up Tights. 8 tackles. He's doing the job, right?
Yeah.
He's just getting his job done. And the Riders haven't, I can't say they haven't missed a beat from Cam Judge, but I don't see it. You might see it, but I don't.
It's been a workmanlike approach for Micah Tights. I think that he's done a good job. And the nice part about it is that he makes the play when it's in front of him, right? It's the concern where the ball is right in front of you, or the ball carrier is right in front of you, and you're whiffing all the time. That's not Micah Tights. He secures tackles. And, again, coaching matters, right? Jason Shivers is doing a great job here. And I think that early on, when Jason Shivers took on the defensive coordinator role from a departed defensive coordinator in Chris Jones, we talked about that opportunity and how he was probably set up more for success than failure, right, with the sort of the learnings that he had had an opportunity to take part of. So Jason Shivers deserves a lot of credit, because since he's taken over, he's looked at the guys that that were on his roster, and he said, okay, how do I get the most out of these guys? So it's no surprise that a guy like Micah Tights is excelling in this system, right? It's no surprise that guys like Toby Antigua and Cam Judge and other guys leave this system and don't have the success that they had here. Mm-hmm. Right, it's not a fluke. It's a guy and a defensive coordinator doing a great job in putting his guys in the position to make a play.
This game reminded me why I love Micah Johnson, and you can have him when you pry him out of my cold dead hand. Three tackles, a sack. He will absolutely destroy people in the middle. He's one of the few interior men to ever lead the CFL in sacks. But he chased a dude 25 yards down the field when some defensive tackles won't leave their home. He goes 25 yards down the field, recovers a fumble. He went 50 yards downfield to make a tackle last year. That's just Micah, and God, I love it.
Well, Micah Johnson's been one of the best defensive tackles in this league since he came into the league, right? And the only thing that's changed is the numbers in the stat column. He's still been a physical force. He's still done his job better than a lot of guys are going to be able to do it. And today, he was out there winning one-on-ones. And again, you do not have to make a tackle or a sack to be the guy who makes the play. If you're the guy that's flushing the quarterback, if you're the guy that's making guys cut back into all your help, if you're the guy that's forcing a quarterback to throw off balance because he's under pressure, you're doing a great job. And again, Micah might not have the statistical numbers that he normally, or that people are used to, but his performance hasn't dropped off. He's always done a good job in this league, and he's still one of the premier defensive tackles.
8 seasons in the Canadian Football League. I just wanted to pull up these numbers to remember myself. Today was game 102 in the regular season for him. 46 sacks, couple of interceptions. I love Micah Johnson, and reminded of it for several reasons today. I hope our next guest loves Micah Johnson as well, because he plays, you know, in the same area with him. Dion Lacey, our defensive star of the game. Dion, do you also love Micah Johnson?
Yeah, he opens up the hose for me if I come downhill.
Anybody who lets you come downhill and do your business, I assume, is going to be in your good books.
Yeah, that's good business right there. Sustaining the line of scrimmage and getting it, setting the tone early in the game. I love for the D-line to get in that position so they can rush the passer, and it showed up tonight.
Dion Lacey is our defensive star of the game. I have to say, I was talking about this earlier. Early in the second quarter, Toronto pretends they're going to go for it on third down, trying to draw the defense offside, knowing the troubles that you guys had the week before with offsides, and you guys held your water, and I was so happy, and I thought, oh yeah, things are different than they were last week.
Oh yeah, Coach made a big emphasis on that, especially that second game that we had with Winnipeg. No, we had them on second and long, and we jumped offsides a few times, and that was key factors in the game, and we came into this game knowing that we had to make sure we were on sides, and it paid off for us.
Hey, Dion, you guys lost Mike Adam, a huge leader for you guys, a vocal leader. Did you take it upon yourself to become more vocal? What was the conversation? Did guys just understand that they were just going to have to do more without Mike out there?
No, it's next man up. You know, Coach Shives and Coach Dickey do a great job of making guys know multiple positions on the defense and prepare guys. And, you know, Booker came in and forced the fumble. You know what I'm saying? That was a great job by him. And, you know, everybody was happy for him. And you know, as a whole, as a defense, you know, everybody's a leader of their own. But you, sometimes it comes a point in the game where you have to listen to somebody, because sometimes, you know, somebody might have a hot head on this play. Somebody might be down on this play. So as a group, we bring each other up. So that would make us really good when we play.
You mentioned that Buka forced a fumble. You forced a fumble as well. You had a sack. Tell me about your sack, if you would.
We had a stunt. You know, me and Micah, we talk a little bit about the stunt game we can do with the center. And, you know, I couldn't really get my hand on the quarterback, so I just swiped at the ball, and I watched on film a lot. Arbuckle, he always one-handed with the ball coming up through the middle, and he found some trouble when he came through there today, well, tonight.
I was reminded of, like, this is fairly old school, depending on how old folks who listen to us. Allen Iverson back in the day with the Sixers, right? With this little flip, and then he's taking it off. I thought, oh, he tried to go around Iverson, and you got him.
Yeah, I did. I got him.
I love it. Dion, what does it mean to you to put up this performance as a team after a couple of losses to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers?
It's always 1-0 every week. It's not about, you know, hanging on to the last week or the week before. We always work towards the next opponent and not hang on the loss. We learn from it. That's why I love the guys in the defensive room. We don't hang on the past. We move forward and we learn from our mistakes. You know, in a game is not going to be perfect, but as a whole, as a team, we have to play together, and it worked out for us. Offense, defense, and special teams showed up today.
Yeah, it did, absolutely. You guys ran the ball well. You stopped them on third. You sent them packing on third and goal. I've never been a part of that. That must feel awesome.
Oh, yeah. And the guys, you know, they was ready for it. Mike was saying, get low and get vertical. Get low and get vertical. That's all he kept telling the D-line, and that's what happened. He couldn't even get an inch over that white line, and I was happy for those guys.
That was fantastic. Dion, congratulations on the win. Thank you for your time tonight. Very much enjoyed the win. Can't wait to see you guys in BC next week.
All right, thanks.
Dion Lacy, the Riders middle linebacker and our defensive star of the game. Our game star is brought to you by Go Grain, the new app that lets farmers book and track grain trucking right from their phone. Download today at gograin.ca. Want you to write the game stars down and be listening to the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable with Michael Ball for your chance to win a special blend by Weiser's gift pack. Schaaf and Bake and Dion Lacy are stars of the game. For Redhead Equipment, Nutrien Ag Solutions, and SGI, take care out there. Plenty more for the Riders' fourth win of the season coming up on the fifth quarter postgame on the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network.
From locker room interviews to the coaches' comments, this is your all-access postgame pass. The fifth quarter on the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Derek Taylor, Luke Mullender continuing from Harvard Studio 620 at Mosaic Stadium on the back of a Riders win 30-16 over the Toronto Argos as the Riders go to 4-2 on the season. Luke, we talked about Canadians in the receiving corps. We should spend a moment talking about Canadians on the defense. Ailey Buca thrust into action in a position he's never made a start in at the CFL level, forces a fumble in the first quarter, and you had real praise for Godfrey Onyeka at that Sam linebacker spot. I can't think of another Canadian that plays Sam linebacker, and Godfrey Onyeka got the job done.
Yeah, he played well. I would caution on giving too much credit to the secondary. I think that there are a few busts there that could have cost him big time. Fortunately, Arbuckle wasn't hitting on all of the open wide receivers. So that's one of the things that they're going to have to get in there and look at on film is, hey, you know, how are these busts really happening, right? Because there was far too many guys getting in behind the defense. And again, when the script worked for them, right, and the Riders could just sort of bail backwards, not because they're up, right, and force the Toronto into the intermediate, it looked a lot better. But in the middle of the game, right, when the game's close and it's anybody's game, you can't have guys running wide open in the back, right? And there were too many miscommunication episodes there for my liking. And again, it wasn't just getting beat long. There were busts that were happening in the shorter routes as well. So there's the opportunity, right? Hey, look, guys, we feel great. This is a good win, right? Ton of positives, but there's also room for some adjustments to be made. One of the things that you know is that Mike Riley is going to want to throw the ball.
Ooh.
He's a little bit more accurate. And by the way, they got the best wide receiver in the league, right? So, hey, you've got to get on top of those opportunities to get better this week. Because, again, Arbuckle is one guy, but Mike Riley, I mean, he might not miss as many targets as Arbuckle did.
Arbuckle got Eric Rogers going right to left. He just missed. I think it was Ricky Collins in the first quarter going left to right, and one that would have had a really different start to this game. So there weren't a ton of bounces that, well, actually there were, because there were two fumbles that the Riders recovered, but bounces to some degree went the Riders' way, like, hey, Arbuckle couldn't connect on those deep balls, which, hey, whatever it takes to win, they held their water long enough, and Campbell made the play on the Marshall interception, so he had a little bounce back, too.
Yeah, exactly, and he was having a rough game to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but it showed, hey, look, this is a guy that understands, hey, it's about the next play, and he continued to stay true to his assignment. He continued to work hard, and again, he was the big part of the reason why Marshall comes up with that interception, right? Because his coverage was a lot better. He was with the guy step for step. So again, those are all things that you enjoy as a coach, because you get to say, okay, look, we struggled here, but this is fantastic here, right? Like, we really appreciate your ability to bounce back and refocus.
Thanks to the good folks at Battery Depot by CAA, AGCO, and The Tap, we continue in the fifth quarter, coming up on the Cooperative Rough Rider Radio Network.
From locker room interviews to the coaches' comments, this is your all-access post-game pass. The fifth quarter on the Cooperative Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Saskatchewan Roughriders 30-16 winners. They will finish the week in second place in the West Division. BC plays Montreal tomorrow. They could also be 4-2, but Saskatchewan won the head-to-head meeting so far. I can't wait to see what will happen this coming week for Young's Equipment and Sask Lotteries. What are you expecting to see next week in BC? Cool. You said during the broadcast, BC's going to be different than they were in week number one.
And Coach alluded to it, right? They're a different team. They're playing a lot better. I think that they had some young, talented defensive linemen in their first action ever in the Canadian Football League the last time the Riders played the Lions, and they've gotten considerably better. So I think that it's you look at the film and you look at it objectively, right? Like, hey, here's the scheme. Because the players are different right now. And depending on what happens there in Montreal, right, they're either going to feel really good about themselves and have a ton of momentum, or they're going to feel like they owe somebody a beat down, and it's going to be the next opponent, right? So you got to be ready. It's a long road trip out there, right? It's a longer flight. The time's different, yada, yada, yada. I really think that the more you just come out and attack a team, doesn't matter what building you're playing, if you're the aggressor, if you're the guy that's putting all the pressure on your opponent, then you've got a lot better chance to come out on top.
Friday night football, it is the Riders and Lions. Could be a battle to see who goes 5-2 in the West Division. It should be a good one. We will, of course, have it for you on 620 CKRM with the pregame show with Michael Ball and then Luke and myself live from Vancouver. Looking forward to it now that the Riders are back in the win column. 122 yards from William Powell, 99 from Kean Schaefer-Baker, and now four wins for your Saskatchewan Roughriders after a great night here in Regina, 4-1 at home through five games. For Luke, I am Derek, and everybody else in the broadcast, thank you so much for being with us. Stick around, the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable with Michael Ball. You can win a great special Blend by Weiser's gift pack if you've been listening to the post-game show. Plus, he'll take your calls and break everything down. Thanks for being with us on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.